Good morning. All right, that was terrible. Good morning. Hey, a little bit better, a little bit better. Okay, so hold that thought. So I still have a broken arm. I'm just trying to act normal. It's not working. I look like Frankenstein. So it's fantastic. So anyway, we're continuing our series this morning called Your Move. And so if you're a guest with us today, I'll kind of give you some of the backstory. What we've talked about the last couple of weeks is how Christianity really is, it's a journey, and every journey is comprised of steps. And so what we do is we just take whatever the next step for you is. And so you're only going to hear this kind of preached in a series once, but you're going to hear it if you come to Motion every week for the rest of your life into perpetuity, okay? Like, we're just going to talk about it because you always need to be looking for the next step that you can take. And so we talked in the beginning, the first week of this, we talked about how some of us, our first step is salvation, like, and everybody has to start there. That's where it all begins for us. And so maybe that's your next move. Maybe you need to kind of talk to somebody and talk through this and understand what salvation is. And we talked about Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, where it says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And we, you know, all of those really important things. So maybe that's your first step. And then kind of the next step past that would be baptism. And for some of you, we talked about how we hold you under just a little bit longer. And you know why, right? And so that's what we talked about the first week. And then last week, we talked about how important it is to get involved in a small group. Because we just believe that this is great. Dude, I live for Sunday mornings, and I love coming to Motion, and I love hanging out with you guys. And it's weird. Like, we've missed 2 Sundays in 3 years. Like, and that's because our leadership team was like, y'all go on vacation. And we're like, we don't want to. Like, we love Sunday mornings. But it's so much more. You can only do so much in the amount of time that we have in the setting that we have. And there's a tremendous amount of value in this, but you also need to be in a smaller setting where you can kind of get more personal and intimate. Because here's the deal. You probably don't want to share all your personal information with everybody in the room, right? I don't know about you. I mean, although I do divulge too much information at times. So that's why small groups are important. And then we also talked about how you need to invest and invite. Invest and invite. Because here's the deal. The church doesn't build itself, right? Like, we talked about how your experience with church was probably like my experience with church. Like, the church changed my life, but I didn't, you know, start driving down the road and see a church and then, like, you know, God spoke to me and said, go to that church. Somebody invited me to church. And because they invited me, it changed my life. And so we should do the same for other people. So now that you've all been caught up to speed, you got the Cliff's Notes version of the series. We're going to start today, and this is the last week. We're going to look at the last two, so there's 6 in total, which is not good if you're a Christian, because apparently that's like the devil's number or something. Right? I could have come up with another and made it 7, just so we'd be real spiritual, but we're not going to do it. 6 is good. So the two we're talking about today are kind of, I call them the giving moves, like the ways that we should kind of give back when we recognize. Here's the deal. This is, we all operate like this, or you should if you have a soul, right? When somebody does something tremendously kind or generous for you, you typically want to give back to them in some way. And in some cases, you could never fully pay back whatever it is that they paid for you, but you want to give back in some form or some fashion. And that's what these moves are about. Like, we recognize the value of the church. We recognize the value of what God does within the context of the church. So we want to be a part of that. And I think there's something inside of all of us that we want to be a part of something that's bigger than ourselves. We recognize that we can only accomplish so much on our own, but if we get together and we collectively combine our talents and our skills and our efforts, we can do so much more. Remember the acronym TEAM? Together, everyone achieves more, right? And we just believe that, man. It's so true. And when you recognize that, you want to be a part of it and you want to contribute. Because I know for me, like, I want to give to the church because the church has given so much to me. Like, my life is completely changed because of the church. And so that's why it's important to me, and I hope that it's important to you. And here's the deal. Let me just be completely upfront with you guys. I want to be honest. That's a good thing to do in church, right? Right? Okay, good. Here's the deal. If this is a place, if this is a church where you feel like you can't give, go to a church that you can. Like, find a church that you feel connected to enough that you would want to give to it. Because if you go to a church and you don't give anything to it and you're a taker, you're a leech. Don't, like, I don't understand. There's nowhere in Scripture where you can find that it says that that's okay. And so I think that if this isn't the church for you, by all means, we will bless you out of here. Don't let the door hit you where the good Lord splits you, right? But if you're here, man, be here. Like, get involved, get plugged in, give back, because it's a give and take relationship. And so that's a very long introduction to
the giving moves,
right? And so what we're going to talk about is again, it all kind of revolves around this idea that the church is the body, right? We talked about that last week. You can find that in a couple of different places. Romans chapter 12 is one place that we're going to look at today. But if the church is a body, the body has members, right? Like, we're not just, you know, a body. We're a body that's comprised of several different members, right? We've got fingers and arms and toes and all of that stuff. And so when you have members, you expect each part of the body to kind of pull their weight to do their part. And so that's where the analogy comes from, that we each have a contribution to make. And so this whole thing is going to be summed up. This is so cheesy, but it's so fun. It's all going to be summed up. Our ability to give back and kind of the giving moves, are they all revolve around giving of your time, your talent, and your treasure. And we're going to talk about money in church. Now, here's the deal. Here's the deal. If you are new, I promise we don't talk about money all the time. We talk about it once a year. Once a year. You picked one of 52 weeks to come when we talk about money. So come back next week. It's going to be fantastic. We're talking about a prophet and a prostitute. I don't know why that's funny. I'm serious. Hosea, Gomer. First off, don't marry a girl named Gomer. But that was his first mistake. If your name is Gomer, I'm sorry. I was just kidding. So this is what we're going to talk about this week. The first one is this. Volunteer. Like, if you want to find a way to give back to the church, or you feel like you've done all of the other moves that we've talked about, maybe the next move for you is to volunteer. And I've come up, well, actually, I stole phrases that kind of make this manageable and some way for us to kind of wrap our minds around it. But this is the one. This is the phrase that we've tagged to volunteer. Saved people, serve people. Saved people, serve people. And I don't know where we got, like, off with this one, but a lot of times Christians, and nobody here, you guys are awesome, right? But a lot of times Christians are the most entitled people on the face of the planet. They think that everybody should do everything in the world for them, and I'm just like, dog, you wrong. But at any rate, and we'll talk about why. So one of the moves for you might be to volunteer in some capacity. As you may know, everything that we do as a church is 100% done by volunteers. Like, everything that we do as a church. So if you see something that needs to be done, volunteer, right? I love how people, man, I have a pet peeve. I'm sure you've got some like this. If somebody is standing around watching me work, oh my gosh. Like, you talk about, like, blood boiling, and I just want to, like, if I've got a broom and I'm sweeping and somebody's like, you missed a spot, this is what I want to do. I want to unscrew the broom and use it like a staff, like Donatello, and just wah, 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 put. Man, like, it irritates me, but here's the deal. So everything that we do as a church is done by volunteers. And so there are opportunities for you to use your specific gifts and the specific talents that you have. Or if you've got a pulse, that's a talent, right? That's a skill. A lot of people don't. They're dead. Go to a cemetery. Check it. That's creepy. Don't do that. And this is what's kind of sad about this idea of volunteering, that it's not real trendy. Do you know that? According to, I read an article in Newsweek, and it said that over the last decade that volunteering has gone down pretty significantly. Only 25.4% of Americans volunteer annually. That means once a year, only 25.4% of Americans volunteer annually. And I'm like, man, I'm trying to think of the kindest way to say this. Like, your head is stuck so far up your backside that you have no concern for anybody else in the world. Like, how sorry is that? And if we ever get, as a Christian, now, if you're not a Christian and you're just here checking this out, you can make fun of people with me, okay? Just let's go with it. But if you're a Christian and you don't volunteer or serve people in any form or capacity, you are blind and full of something, and it's not good. And you can figure out what it is. I don't know. That's just, you know, use your imagination, right? There's just no way, there's no way that that's possibly justifiable for you as a Christian not to serve other people in some form or capacity. It's just, there's no explanation, there's no justification or any other action that you could possibly think of. Jesus set the precedent for us when it comes to serving. Like, here's the deal. Jesus had every right to come and be served. Like, he could have set it up right. You know, he had his disciples. He's like, hey, Judas, I need a pedicure. Let's go. And so Judas, you know, what are you going to do? It's the Son of God. Rub his feet. And then, you know, he's like, Peter, give me some grapes. Give me a fan. Let's go. Like, he could have been served, but he didn't choose to live that way because he wanted to model for us the best way. And there's this you know, phrase that's used a lot of times that describes the way that Jesus lived. It's called servant leadership. He led by serving. And it's all found and premised on this verse in Mark chapter 10, verse 45. It said, even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And he gave his life as a ransom for many people. He didn't come to be served. He could have, but he chose instead to serve. And if we think as his followers, as disciples of Christ, that we can by any way or form get around this idea of serving, like you're confused or you're dumb. I mean, I love you. You're right. And nobody in here, right? Like other churches that do this. I've been throwing other churches under the bus a lot lately. I got to quit. And so, seriously, like there's just no way. There's no way that you can get around this. The foundation for our lifestyle was laid and solidified by Jesus and the way that he lived his life. And he told us it would be one thing. You know, it's one thing if somebody does something and it's kind of like, I wonder why they did that. Like he did it and he told us. Like you have no excuse. Like if you have one or the other, there's room for error, right? Like if you tell your kids to do something, like they're like, it's a crapshoot. They may or may not get it done. If you have kids, you know what I'm talking about. But if you don't, you will. Trust me. It's coming. It may or may not get done, but like if you reinforce it somehow, like it usually gets done. Usually at our house, that involves threatening in some form or fashion. I'm just telling you. Not physical, taking video games and stuff away. At any rate, I just believe that serving in the church and believe that serving in the church and finding ways to use the talents that God has given you is one of the most beneficial things that you can do. Here's the deal. Is it self-serving for me to ask you to serve in the church? Absolutely. Do I think that there's benefit in it for you? Absolutely. Like, it's not just, hey, serve us so you look, you know, like a dillweed and we look awesome. If that's not it at all. Like, there's so much value in serving in the church, and we'll talk about just a couple of them. One of them is purpose. Like, man, you get to use the gifts and the talents. I think about our musicians. Like, these guys are incredible musicians, and they practice, and they put a lot of time in it. That is a talent. It's a skill. I know. I picked up a guitar, and I sounded stupid, right? It's like, dur-dur-dur, you know? And so, like, these guys are extremely talented, and they get to use the gifts that God has given them to lead other people in worship. And I just have to guess and believe that there's so much purpose in that. There's a sense of meaning and value in using the things that God has entrusted you with to serve other people. And so I know a lot of times we have jobs. Have you ever had a bad job? Man, I had a job. I had two. First job out of high school was okay. Second job out of high school was awful. Let me just give you guys a life lesson. If anybody offers you a job as a quality control person, run. Because this is what quality control translates to in the real world. Scapegoat. Anything goes wrong, you know whose fault it is? Yours. Man, I have nightmares. No, I'm just kidding. But that was an awful job. So a lot of times we have jobs that just, man, they make us feel kind of worthless and meaningless, and there's no value or purpose, or you've got gifts that you're not even able to use at the job that you have. And so at the church, in the church, you have an opportunity to use your gift. Maybe you're fantastic with children, but you work with old people. I don't know. And you want to work with kids. By all means, we have opportunities for that. There's so many ways for you to volunteer and serve in the church, but there's value in it for you. You get to connect with the purpose that you were created with. And I think you guys y'all understand that. Romans chapter 12, this is the verse that we kind of alluded to earlier. Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 8. And this is, again, it talks about the body and how we have members, and each part of those members, each one of those members has functions. And so, just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well, right? Like, that's it. Like, we're unique. You have a very unique gift set and talent set and things that you can do well and things that you bring to the table. And so you need to use your gifts, because if you back up just a little bit, it says we all belong to each other. Like, it's not just about you, homie. right? It's about us serving each other. You belong to each other, so you serve each other. It's just like a marriage. We're going to do this. We've been talking about doing this series called Love Handles for a long time. It's going to happen, I promise. And somebody's going to get slapped. It's going to be fantastic. Because I just have this idea of a video in my head of like people running around grabbing love handles. And some people, I get pretty sensitive about my midsection. If you grab my love handles, you're getting, you know, right? Marriage. Squirrel, right? So marriage is very much about belonging to each other and giving to each other. If you're in a relationship or any kind of serious relationship and you think that it's all about the other person kind of, you know, succumbing to the needs that you have or giving to whatever needs you have and you're not going to contribute, you're an idiot. It's not going to work. Just does not work like that. If you want a successful relationship or marriage, it is give and take, give and take. And the same thing here, we belong to each other. It's give and take. And if we want to make it work and want to make it all that it can be, you have to give and you have to take. Like, absolutely take, but give as much as you take or even more so. So, at any rate. So, if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. That one is so good. Because some people are just so good. Have you ever been around somebody that just is so good at serving people? Like, they have this ability kind of to almost know what you need before you even need it, and they serve so well. And maybe that's your gift. And it's not, in my mind, like, in the world that we live in, we think that that's kind of on the lower rungs of, you know, societal awesomeness. In my mind, people that serve other people are the greatest people in the world. And in Jesus' mind, I'm pretty sure it's the same way because, you know, I mean, you see so many kind of paradoxes. It's like he who is greatest is actually the least, and he who is the leadest is actually the greatest, leadest, lest, least, whatever, right? And so it's just kind of like this upside down, backwards, inside out kingdom that we live in. And it's like if you want to find your life, you lose it. But if you lose your life, you find it. What? And so if you're a servant, you're actually the greatest because you're viewed as the least. And so there's no shame in that being your gift. Serve other people well if that's your gift. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And I think that could be kind of tagged on all of them. Take the responsibility seriously. Like, here's the deal. This is the thing. Like, your gift that God has given you and the talent that God has given you is so important. And if you don't use it, you are robbing the church of your gift and your talent that God has given you. Take it seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. We learned this the hard way. Like, we used to tell our kids to do something, and then, like, when they hit a certain age, they kind of give you they're going to do it, but it's like, I'm going to do it with some attitude. And so I'm like, my hand's got some attitude, too. Not that I would ever use it, right? So we stole this from another parenting class or couple or whatever that we talked to, and they said, not only are they going to do it, but you're going to do it with a happy heart. And I'm just like, that's awesome. It's so, like, cheesy, but it's so good. Like, not only should we expect our children, I don't know if you don't have kids, just go with me here. Should we expect them to do the things that we ask them to do? But we're going to expect them to do it with a happy heart. Not only does God expect you to use your gifts that he's given you, but he expects you to do it with a happy heart. Don't show up trying to serve with a, you know, sour face sucking on lemons look, right? Because here, like, if you've been to churches, and I'm going to keep ripping on other churches, not specifically, just in general, right? I've been to churches where, like, you show up, and you probably shouldn't have showed up. Like, people are looking at you like, what are you doing here? I don't know. I thought it was a church. I thought you were supposed to go to church. I was scared. I went to church. I don't know. So that's the first one, is just that we get to connect with our purpose when we serve in the church. The second one, I'll be quicker on these. I wanted to spend a lot of time on that, is discipleship. I'm all for small groups, and I'm all for Bible studies and any opportunity where we have to get together kind of in smaller groups and get more personal and deeper relationships. But I just believe, I'm convinced that one of the greatest forms of discipleship is serving together in the church. Like, you get the smaller groups, and you get to serve alongside other people, and you encourage each other, and you challenge each other. And it's, in my opinion, and it's right in my mind, right, is that discipleship happens probably best in serving with other people. And so that's another way that it values or benefits us. And the last one is this, I mean, that we're going to look at. There's a bunch more, but we'll be quick, is life change. Like, you get a front row seat to people's lives being changed. Like, man, we try to do the stories like where we do I Love My Church, and you guys have seen that, like where people, just because they're a part of the church, their life has been changed in some form or some fashion, and that's because of you. That's because you give and you're using the gift that you have to serve other people, and their lives are changed because of you. And if that doesn't like make you feel some kind of importance or worth or like awesome, then something, you can get it checked out, right? We got a defibrillator back there. When you walk out, we'll give you a little jolt, right? Just kidding. Maybe, I don't know. So that's the first one. Like give your volunteering effort, serve in some way, saved people, serve people. And if you don't know what that means, man, just talk to, we have a little awesome table at the back where somebody will be posted up after the experience. And if you want to know about opportunities to serve, look, I'm not asking you to come, you know, at 6 o'clock on Sunday morning and stay here till 6 o'clock Sunday afternoon every single week for the rest of your life. Dude, it's really easy. You show up a little bit early, you leave when everybody else leaves. You don't have to do it all the time. You can do it like once a month or something like that, but serve in some capacity. Serve in some capacity. Saved people, serve people. And if you don't want to serve in the church, like go serve somewhere. Don't you dare, as a Christian, not serve. Like if you want to go help at Highway 80 or House of Disciples or something like that, serve in some capacity. Mentor, there's mentoring programs in Longview. There's opportunities to help out with single mothers or parents-to-be. Like serve in some way. I think serving in the church is fantastic. If you want to do those as well, even better. So that's the first one. Save people, serve people, volunteer in some form. The second one is this. And this is, again, apparently talking about money in the church is frowned upon, right? Have y'all seen that commercial? I think it's like the E-Trade with the little baby. And he's like, apparently it's frowned upon in this establishment, right? I don't know. And here's the deal. I have seen kind of misuse and abuse of money and people talking about money in church. And I understand that some of the concerns are warranted. I get it. But that doesn't mean, just because there's, you know, one bad apple doesn't ruin the whole bunch, right? Don't let anybody's, you know, mishandlings or anything else mess up the biblical perspective that you should have when it comes to money. So here's the second one. We're going to talk about giving. And if you're new, once a year, like you just picked the week, you have really good timing, okay? So we're going to talk about giving. And the tagline to that is that you can't outgive God. You just can't. You absolutely can't. And we're going to finish up. We'll come back to this. But there's this idea that you've all probably heard, is that it's better to give than to receive. And most of us are still learning that, right? I just like gifts, man. If you want to give me a gift, I'm like, hey, you know, I like to receive. That's just me. For whatever reason, like I said, and there are some valid ones, talking about money in the church is frowned upon. It's almost like, this is a personal embarrassing story, right? It's almost like having the talk with your kids or your parents having the talk with you. Awkward, right? And so this is funny. Our kids, they're growing. They're getting older. They're 9 and 12 now. And so my wife and I have already kind of like started talking about the talk. Y'all know what the talk is, right? Don't need to be going into detail, divulge information here. All right, so we started talking about the talk, and Shelley's like, I don't want to do it. I'm like, I'll do it. I got it. And like my daughter's 12, and she's going to be ruined. Like it's going to be over. It's not going to be good for her. This is really funny. She has a client that, you know, her daughter was about this, I guess she's maybe 12 or 13. And so this client of hers gave the talk to her daughter, and she was so disgusted. She's like, you and dad did that twice? And she, because they have two children. And she said, this is the funny part. She's like, I didn't have the heart to tell her, we do it for fun. Talking about sex, people, sex. Jeez, you guys are so immature. But for whatever reason, talking about money in the church is almost like, it's almost this kind of, you know, got that what is the taboo, you know, kind of whatever to it. So it's just, it shouldn't be like that. Because here's the deal. I know I talk about money outside of church. I know you talk about money outside of church. I've talked to you about money outside of church. Like we talk about the things that we buy and the things we want to do, the places we want to go, our jobs, which we don't do our jobs just because we love working. We do our jobs to make money. Right? So everything else about our life is about money. So it's okay to talk about money in the church and just kind of set the proper framework for money and handling money and generosity. Because this is what it all boils down to. Is your heart right? Do you have a generous heart or do you have a greedy heart? Because God is not very comfortable with you having a greedy heart. In fact, it talks about, we'll look at some of these verses and stuff, but it says, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. Our hearts and our money are inextricably linked. Like wherever you spend your money, you can tell a lot about a person by how they spend their money. Like look at your checkbook. Go back and look at your bank account, your register. I do online banking. It's got everything spelled out. You can tell an awful lot about a person by how they spend their money. And so I just think it's important that we get this and we kind of have the proper understanding and foundation for all of this. God doesn't want or need your money. He wants your heart. And he knows that if he has your money, he probably has your heart, because where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. You see how it works? It's just, we got to get this idea that the church wants something from us out of our minds, because it's not that the church wants something from you. The church wants something for you. The church wants you to understand generosity and the power of living a generous life. Like, man, there are verses after verses after verses that talk about how important it is to be generous. Be generous. And it's all about, I mean, sure, be generous with your time. That's important. Be generous with your talent. Serve in whatever capacity you can. Absolutely. But generosity, the way that we typically think of generosity, is money. So be generous. And I know a lot of you guys are young. Now is the time to start. Don't wait till this is, I hear people say this, if I ever get rich, I'll give money to the church. If you got 10 bucks and you won't give $1 to the church, what makes you think that if you make $100,000, you're going to give $10,000 to the church? It's not about equal giving. It's about equal sacrifice, right? And so it's just, man, it's important that we get this. And if you're young, start this habit now. This is one of the greatest habits you can start now, because if you don't start now, it's going to be a lot harder to start later on. So start now if you're young. If you're old, it's going to be tough. Just keep going. You can do it. You can do it. You got this, right? I feel like a cheerleader all of a sudden. I'm not doing a herky, though. Get it out of your head. Matthew chapter 6, verse 21 is where it says, where your treasure is, that is where your heart will also be. And man, if we just understand the importance of this, that God is not interested in our money, he's interested in our hearts. And one of the greatest ways to know that your heart is in the right place is if you're willing to give something away. I read this book called Love Does by Bob Goff. If you haven't read that book and you're looking for a good laugh and a great story, read that book. That guy's a genius. And so he has a chapter in there called Remaining Open-Handed. And he talks about how powerful it is. He's actually a lawyer by trade. And he tells all of his clients when they're being deposed, so they're sitting on a stand, like these attorneys are just grilling them. If you've ever seen or been a part of a deposition, man, they're trying to trick you. They're trying to get you to say things that you didn't even mean to say. And so when his clients are being deposed by other attorneys, he says, sit there with your palms open on your lap. And he's like, I don't know what it is. I can't explain it. Maybe there's a science to it. But when people remain open-handed, they give better answers. They're more honest. They're more calm. Like everything about them is better. And I thought that was just such a fantastic analogy for what it is for us or how it looks for us. When we remain open-handed, when we don't allow greed kind of to have a hold on our hearts, and we're, because here's the deal, so many people spend every stinking penny that they have available on themselves. Saved people serve people. Like if you spend everything that you have on you, like you're selfish. And that's not the way that Jesus modeled for us to live. I'm absolutely convinced that if Jesus lived in our day and he worked at, I don't know, Walmart, McDonald's, or whatever, like that he would absolutely not spend every penny that he made on himself, that he would serve other people with the money that he made. And so people that make the comments about, oh, the church, all they want is my money, this is usually it's an indictment on them and not the church. Because here, I'll prove it. When is the last time that you heard anybody say, I hate Target? All they want is my money. I usually hear it the other way around. Like my wife is like, oh my God, I love Target. And she willingly goes and gives them money. in exchange for, you know, shoes. Good Lord. Could we have any more shoes, right? And so, like, that's just, you go and give money to these places in exchange for some cheesy, crappy product most of the time, and you never complain about Target wanting your money or the mall wanting your money or Walmart wanting your money. You willingly go and give it to them. And the church functions solely on the gifts of the members, the people that come regularly and attend and give. And if that's your attitude towards a church, here's the deal. Let me, again, I just want to be 100% frank and upfront with you. If you feel like you can't give to this church, find one that you can. Like, find a place that you feel like is valuable enough and the mission is important enough and the things that they're doing are God-centered enough that you can actually contribute to. Because if you can't, then it's an indictment on you. Like, that's your problem, your issue. You understand? Good. I'm glad that we're all on the same page. So these are the verses that we'll look at. This is kind of some of the areas that it's spelled out. These are some of the really cool, like, Old Testament verses that you like to bust out from time to time. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. If you haven't read this, it's so good. It says, well, I say so good, like in the sense that like a hymn is so good. You know, every once in a while, it's okay to bust out a hymn. I do it all the time. It's really funny because I can't sing. Bring, Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. It says, bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And so this is God talking to Malachi, who was a prophet, who was supposed to relay this message to his people. And he's like, here, bring the tithe, which Bianca talked about earlier. It's the 10%. A tithe is 10%. So bring the tithe into my house, bring it into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house. And so kind of this analogy, the Old Testament temple is very similar to the church in the New Testament. The way that they operated was based on the gifts of the people in the community. They would come to the temple, they would give their tithes and their offerings, and that's how they were sustained. And it's no different for us. Like, here's the deal. Like, I absolutely am all about faith, but have you ever tried to write a check to AEP that said faith? See, let me know how that works. Because if it works, I'm all about it. Like, if we write a check to our landlord that says, we have faith, here's your check. They're going to be like, here's your eviction notice. Good luck on the faith, right? Like, it doesn't work like that. And it's not just about the physical things that we have to pay for. Here's the deal. Like, I just believe that if everybody contributes and we have more resources to pull from, that our community impact will be greater. Like, just imagine if we went from buying kids or 20 pairs of shoes for kids in need to 200 pairs of shoes for kids in need. What if it went from 200 pairs of shoes to kids in need to 2,000 pairs of shoes for kids in need? Like, it's just our impact and our ability to impact the community and influence the community and lead people to live and move and have their being in Jesus all depends on our resources. If we don't have resources because people don't give, then we just will never be everything that we could be. Be all that you can be in the army of the Lord. Amen. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and 10, it says this: honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. There's a little phrase in there that I want to focus on, because this is what happens a lot of times. And it's understandable, because a lot of times we don't do a very good job of handling our money. So even when you have a generous heart, if you're not a good steward, God gets your leftovers. Like, you guys have probably experienced this. Like, you've been at a position in your life where you wanted to give and you understand the importance of giving, but then, like, you kind of get everything out of proportion and you got to pay this and you got to pay this and you got to do this and you got to pay this. And it's like, this is what I got left, God. Good luck, right? No? Yeah? Okay. But there's this phrase in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. It says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all of your crops. Like, God should be first place in our life, especially in this area of giving. Like, man, don't give God whatever's left over and after you've paid for your $40,000 truck that you can't really afford, and they're like, oh, God, I'm sorry. You know, I got an awesome truck, but I'm not going to give you anything, right? Give God the first place in your finances, the first fruits of your crops. One of the best teachings that I've ever heard on this, and I'll kind of cruise through this because it's good information, but it's just really an outline for you to take and kind of apply to your life. It's the ways that we can give. And the first one, and they all start with S, so that those of you that need alliteration in your life, today is your day. The first one is spontaneous giving, Like, there are times where you've done this, I've done this, we're driving down the road, you see somebody on the side of the road, you feel compelled to give in some way, or maybe, however that plays out for you, but this need to give spontaneously, you feel this opportunity or you see this opportunity and you feel the need to respond to that. So absolutely, man, do that. And this is the world that we live in is like, oh, you don't know what they're going to do with the money. They're going to go buy booze. Who cares? That's not your responsibility. Your responsibility is to be obedient to that prompting. Like, I just believe that it's the Holy Spirit. If you feel compelled to give to a need, give. Like, don't talk about it. Don't argue with yourself. Just do it. It doesn't matter what they do with it. You do what you feel like you were supposed to do, and that's the way that you honor God with your will. So that's the first one, is spontaneous. The next one is systematic. Another S, right? Systematic. These are the people that, man, we got. It's cool to me to kind of get an overview. We have somebody else that handles all the finances of the church, but she'll send me reports. And I get to see, like, people that give consistently. Man, do you know what that does for the heart of a guy that's trying to lead the church? To know that people care about the church enough to give to it every single week, every single week, every single week. Just systematic giving. Give, you know, again, if you make this much money in a week, 10% right off the top goes to the church. You're a systematic giver. And these are, to me, these are even more valuable. We've had two times in the life of the church where people have given us very large, for us, very large sums of money. And as much as I appreciate that, I appreciate people that give every single week or every 2 weeks or whatever, however it is their pay schedule works out. To me, that's even more valuable than people, you know, somebody's like, hey, here's $100,000. I'm not going to turn it down, right? But I honestly would prefer people that give, you know, consistently and systematically. So that's the second one. And the last one, the last S for those lovers of alliteration, is sacrificial giving. And this one is probably the least pleasant, but the most valuable. Like, you've probably been there, and if you haven't, I hope that you are. I hope that God challenges you in this way at some point in your life. There probably is going to be a point in your life where you feel compelled to give to a need, and it really just doesn't make sense for you. And so there's this compulsion to do something that would be sacrificial on your part. Like, you're giving almost more than you can handle. And this is where, if we get this, that you can't outgive God, then it makes sense to go ahead and do that. And don't be stupid. Like, absolutely be intelligent. Make good, wise decisions. But there are times where you're going to be challenged to do things that just don't make any sense. Do it. Like, don't ever argue with yourself, or don't ever, you know, quiet the voice of the Holy Spirit that may be leading you to do something. Do it. Follow that voice that tells you to give sacrificially. There's this little bitty story. I say little bitty because, I don't know, they talk about little things, widows and mites. I don't understand. There's a currency that they used that was called a mite, and I just think about like a little flea for some reason. I don't know what's up with that. So Luke chapter 21, verses 1 through 4. And this was Jesus. He was kind of standing there. He was standing with his people, his posse, and they were chilling and they were talking. And there were people walking up to the temple. They had their you know, offering buckets outside of the temple, however it looked. And people were dropping up, you know, walking up, dropping, filled out their envelopes. Here's my tax information. Go and send that to me. It didn't work out like that. And so they were putting all their stuff in. And this poor little, they called her the widow lady, walked up. And she put in two mites. I'm not even sure what that values out to be today. I would suspect it's pennies let me read the story and we'll talk about it. He looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury. And he also saw a certain poor widow putting in two mites. So he said, truly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all. For all of these, out of their abundance, have put in offerings for God, but she, out of her poverty, put in all the livelihood that she had. Like, she gave sacrificially. She gave more. Like, it's no big deal. If you're loaded, it's no big deal for you to, you know, drop a few dimes here and there, right? But if you're kind of tight and it doesn't make sense for you, there are times where you're going to be challenged to give sacrificially. And God notices. Like, God is aware. He pays attention. He paid attention to this little bitty widow who walked up and gave sacrificially. And now her story has been passed down through history because of her generosity. There's a lot of, that's like, man, if you kind of like wrap that, it would be really good. But I'm not going to do it. I told Shelly the other day I missed my calling. I was supposed to be like the next Eminem or something. Don't judge me. You've got like secret fantasies too, right? Anyway, I want to wrap up this morning. With it's just an honest kind of a heavy challenge. I want to challenge you guys to be givers. Like, if that for you means volunteering, man, find a way to serve. Find a way to serve. If it's not here, serve somewhere. I would prefer you serve here. I'm slightly biased, obviously. But serve somewhere. Saved people serve people. And if you haven't made giving a consistent part of your life, and as in your tithes and your offerings and finances and all of that stuff, man, that may be your next move. Because here's the deal. Once you start to do it, you understand the power of generosity. You get to see that what you give changes people's lives. It's not just money. It's influence. It's the ability to help people, to inspire people, to change our community. And when we get it right and we understand that, man, it makes it so much easier. And I want to, this is not a guilt trip, but man, this is, if you go back to Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, there's a verse, two verses before, Malachi chapter 3, verse 8, and it's just, it's really heavy, but I think it's important. It says, will a mere mortal rob God? Question, will a mere mortal rob God? And so this is God talking to the prophet, for the prophet to talk to the people. And it says, God said, yet you rob me. And so the prophet's like, how are we doing that, right? Because you don't want to rob God, right? Of all the people that you don't want to rob, I don't think you would want to rob God. Like, have you ever had something stolen from you? What an awful feeling, man. We had some electricians up here doing some work the other day, and we had an iPad come up missing. Like, if you want to get me fired up, like, steal something from me, right? And so, you know, I'm just like, I got a broken arm, I'm going to break your face somehow. I got one good one, you know? And so, at any rate, we got it all settled. But, man, when somebody steals something from you, it's just gut-wrenching. It's just like you feel like you've been punched in the throat or punched in the gut. It takes the life out of you. And so, think about that, the context, when we read this. It says, will a mere mortal rob God? Yet you rob me. And so we ask, how are we robbing you, God? How are we robbing from you? And God's response is in tithes and offering. When we don't give proportionately our tithe and our offering to God, we're robbing God. And I just don't think that's the end of the equation that you want to be on. You want to be on the other end. You want to be a generous person, not a greedy person. It's always about your heart. And we'll finish and we'll wrap up with that verse that we started with. Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Like, that's what it's all about. God's not interested in your money. He's interested in your heart. Amen? Let me pray for us, and then we'll bounce. Father, we love you so much. God, we are so thankful for everything that you do for us. God, we're thankful that you've given us examples to live by. God, with respect to almost every area of our life. God, I thank you that you've shown us the way that serving other people is one of the greatest things that we can do. God, that you didn't come to be served, but to serve. God, and we're thankful that you did that and you showed us how to do that for others. God, I pray that you would help us, God, to make this part of our life. Find a way, God, to incorporate serving into our lives. God, to volunteer either in the church, God, or in other organizations or some way, God, just to give back for all that you've done for us. God, and lastly, I pray that for any of us, God, maybe that haven't taken the next move, God, to give of their tithes or their offerings, God, that we would try it, God. We would understand that you were generous, that you were a giver, God, that you gave your best for us, that you sent your son to die on the cross for us, God. So the least that we could do is have our priorities in order, have our heart right, and be generous people. God, we love you, and we thank you for everything that you do, and it's in Jesus' name we pray, and everybody say, amen.